All right, why don't we begin starting here with a few selected verses before we get in today's lesson as the rest of the saints come in. So make sure you have your notepad ready, your highlighter and your pen, and also your Bibles. Bible's open to Ephesians chapter 3, but let's read a few verses here before the bell rings. Here's something out of the John, the Gospel of John. In fact, we'll be reading some other portions in the Gospel of John today. In John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus, again, is emphasizing another birth, other than that which is the flesh. He's talking about a spiritual birth, isn't he? Being born again, which means we're taking on a different likeness. We're taking on a different likeness of a different parent, and that which is our Father in heaven. We'll be talking more about that, about that eternal witness, those things which are from above. So he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He won't perceive nor enter in, except by the tokens which he's provided. And that's John 3:3. I'll make some notes on that for your sacrifices. So Jesus said again, marvel not that I send to you, you must be born again. As he's emphasizing these things, that we have to take on, the likeness of our spiritual parent, our spiritual father. As we took on the likeness of our physical parents, of the natural, we have to take on the likeness of our spiritual parent, our Father which is in heaven, as well as also the tokens there of the holy city, New Jerusalem, the city which is from above. Also, how about another one here, John 3:36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Well, that's reassuring, isn't it, that the tokens which he's provided for us in himself, will lead us into that which is perpetually eternal. Perpetually eternal. Let me see that overcomes or grant to sit with me in my throne. The throne, of course, has to do with that initiating power of substance, being the will of God. The purity of his conscience, the holiness, the holiness of his scales, put in the righteousness of his Son. A perpetual power called everlasting life has to do with the festivity of the God code, the treasures of which you're laying up in heaven, the treasures which are from above, is that which is a perpetual power to assist us in the multiplication of our Father's likeness to all dimensions, the mansions which he is preparing for us, a habitation for our existence, the dimensions, the baptism of light. So he that believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not, of course he's denying it, he has not the Son. You don't have the token steward, that's going to initiate this power, for this multiplication. It has not life. Has not life. He that believes not the Son should not see life. The person that does not consent to the tokens of this covenant, which he's provided for us, will not experience these things. He will leave his vessel as a point of desolation. The desolation, the desolate places. Which we will fill. We will fill all these chambers of our Father. But this person, he that believes not the Son shall not see life, is denying God's joy. But the wrath of God abides upon him. Which has to do with the tokens of death will continually eat upon the conscience, the soul, and the body in the lake of fire. John 3:36. Here's another one here. We got a few minutes. John 4:24, God is a spirit. Now, this is good. God is a spirit. He's not talking about us concerning a natural phenomena, but a supernatural phenomena. Not that which is of this dimension. God is a spirit. You don't worship him, must worship him in spirit and truth. You have to worship him with the tokens he's provided, being the witness and the record. The anointing. The anointing has to take form for the regeneration to take place within you. And truth provides the mold for the anointing to be poured into, in order for this likeness to be manifested in word and in deed. In word and in deed. So God is a spirit. So if you worship him, you must worship him with his tokens. Just like Moses provided the law, and physical tokens, which of course you can see that in the illustration there on Facebook, regarding Basileo and Aholiab. Now we'll be talking about them. We're reading some verses there out of Exodus regarding Basileo and Aholiab and their contribution constructing, using their craftsmanship and constructing the tokens of worship. They were sanctified because it was the Spirit that was using these vessels, okay, in order to initiate this design for the reciprocation, okay, of the law, okay, which was temporary and restricted to this dimension. It had to do with the defiled conscience. So if the earthly tokens had to do with the defiled conscience, then the heavenly tokens have to do with the pure conscience. And that's what we do. We worship God in spirit and truth, okay, with a pure conscience. Okay, our hearts have been sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. Okay, I think we have time here for one more. Okay, we'll read something out of the book of Maccabees, 4th Maccabees here. Okay, 4th Maccabees gives us a little insight here concerning the reason of man. This is out of 4th Maccabees, if you want to make a note on this in your notepad. 4th Maccabees 1:25. For while reason, he says here, for while reason is the guide of the virtues, it is the master of the passions. I'll read that again. For while reason is the guide of the virtues, it is the master of the passions. He's talking about us concerning, this is what enlightenment does. Enlightenment does to the soul. Okay, what God reveals, okay, is a reason to guide us, okay, into our faith. It's a guide. Reason is a guide of the virtues. Okay, it guides us into faith. The Spirit guides our soul into faith. So therefore, it's the master of the passions. It births the temperance. It births the temperance, okay, within the nature of man. And that's out of 4th Maccabees 1:25. And we're getting started here, so everyone should be there now. Okay, so take your seat, open your Bibles here to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to continue on. Before we left off, and of course, we'll be starting in verse 20, but I want to start a verse above that so we can read up into that. Saying that we're going to be rooted and grounded in Christ. See the word rooted and grounded. Okay, this is the seed which he's implanted within us for the purpose of bearing fruit for him, from the root to the fruit. Okay, from the root to the fruit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, we just talked about that. Okay, the reason and the virtue. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, we see that our power has to be present in order to produce a product. A power has to be present to produce a product. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. That's in verse 18. We now have the full picture of this plan. Okay, may be able to comprehend with all saints concerning this bonding and this building. We'll be talking more about that concerning the RNA and the DNA. Okay, the bonding and the building proteins, which God inscribed, okay, with his own name. He inscribed these things with his power, with his own name, okay, in order to bring about a desired result, okay, which we can see throughout all nature. Okay, we can see these proteins manifested, okay, throughout nature. Now, though they are invisible to the eye in its own form of a protein, it's invisible to the eye, yet we can see the direct results of that. You can see the direct results in that everywhere you look. Okay, everywhere you look, you see the direct results of that, these proteins. Okay, so we'll be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. We can see that God put portions of himself in all these parables, which Jesus said, because without a parable, he did not speak to them. Okay? So he spoke to them in parables, but he expounded these parables to his apostles. After he was alone with them, he expounded to them, and they asked him, Lord, what is this parable you talked about, the seed and the sower? Okay, what do these things mean? Of course, Jesus related to them concerning these proteins. Okay, representing himself, the stewardship and the knowledge that should be shared. Okay, within the which course being shared would produce a product. We're building and bonding, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, giving the full picture right here, concerning his wisdom. Okay, to behold Christ in this knowledge, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Okay, see the word passes knowledge. Okay, which means it's the knowledge of Christ is not restricted to the logic of man. Okay, the knowledge of Christ exceeds that. That's what we talked about, the power of reason. Okay, the anointing gives Adamites the power to reason. Okay, the power of reason. And this has to do with the eye of our perspective. The eye of perspective reaches beyond the veil by the anointing. The eye of our perspective reaches beyond the veil. Okay, so it passes the knowledge. Okay, of course, all knowledge is not good. We know there's good knowledge and evil knowledge. Of course, the Lord made that known in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? In regarding Adam, this is a contract I'm making with you, Adam. Okay, your existence right here, okay, will be perpetual. But I'm going to put a contradiction here for you to avoid. Don't approach this and don't eat the fruit of it. Okay, so God put a token of contradiction, okay, in the midst of paradise. And this is for the testing of choices. God intentionally did that, and he called the tree of good and evil. And Satan planted this vine. Satan planted a vine, and that's why God cursed it. Okay, and that's why he called the knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we can see, okay, the pending results of that was the expulsion of Adam from this paradise. Okay, and that, of course, he had to now live, he had to live by his logic outside of that. Okay, but again, God showed mercy and gave him a power for him to find peace and rest outside of that place, okay, that place of paradise. And that threatening sword, which kept Adam from entering back in, okay, will be removed for our entrance into the Holy City, New Jerusalem, so that we can partake of that tree. And of course, the partaking of the tree, okay, has to do with the healing of the nations. It has to do with the sustaining of the body of flesh. And when it sustains the body of flesh, it's equal to that of the power of the Spirit. Okay, this is what the Father determined before the world began. Okay, before he created this dimension. Okay, that fire and water would dwell together, okay, and not cancel each other out, but they would dwell together in peace. Okay, within the dimension of himself and his own conscience. This was his plan to be perpetually expressed through all dimensions, but he thought within himself, how would I put together these powers without canceling them out, okay, without each one canceling each other out? How could water and fire find peace between each other? Okay, and he did this in the atonement which he provided for us in himself, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, which has to do with these, that we could touch all these treasures, that all the treasures of his bosom are provided for us, okay, for this perpetualness, okay, everlasting life. Okay, now let's start with verse 20 here. Now unto him, that is, for in him is this joy sealed. Now unto him, this is the joy of the Father. This is what Jesus was speaking about to his apostles. Jesus was relating to these things to his apostles here at the time of the Last Supper. We call it the Last Supper. Okay, to the journey to the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, the Garden of Gethsemane, that our Lord, being our steward, is leading us back to the place of our peace and rest. Now, when they went there, they had peace and they had rest until false knowledge presented itself again through Judas Iscariot. Now, Satan entered Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot brought conflict and contradiction, okay, to the place of prayer, okay, to the place where they were resting. They fell asleep, okay, and three times the Lord returned to them, which talks about also the time of power, the third day. After 2 days, he revive us, and the third day he shall raise us up. And he raised them up the third time, saying, arise, hey, quickly leave. Okay, he that betrays us is here. Hey, and here Judas Iscariot came up and kissed him, as a serpent kissed Eve. Not literally kissed her, but okay, the knowledge he gave to her, she embraced and partook of. That was the kiss of the serpent. And then that was death. Okay, the kiss of the serpent is death. The knowledge of the serpent is death. And the knowledge of this world is death. Why is it death? Because it's absent God's sanctification and does not produce faith. So in it is concealed death. Death is concealed in the knowledge of this world. And now we're going to talk about these powers. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. So hide the word exceedingly abundantly. Okay, exceeding abundantly, you can see also, passes the knowledge. Which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Where is the love of Christ? It's in this power. Power of expression. The power of expression we embrace, or touch. Even as the high priest on that first covenant embraced, touched, and consumed. Embraced, touched, and consumed. He took of the sacrifice, which has to do with he touched it. And there's a preparatory stage, okay, by which also he initiated, casting it upon the altar. After it was cast upon the altar, he was to partake of the sin offering. We also partake of the sin offering. Who is that sin offering? Jesus Christ. And he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, the high priest also plucked in a 3-pronged fork, okay, and took the meat of the sin offering, that which he also ate. Okay, and also partook of the wine of the temple. He drank of him, and he ate of him. So God, in his wisdom, put his knowledge within these tokens and symbolisms, okay, by which Jesus would relate to his apostles at the Last Supper. Drink ye all of it, as the high priest drank of the wine. Eat this bread, break it and eat it, which also the high priest partook and shared with his family. Only of the immediate family, they were able to eat of this meat, okay, the sacrifice of the sin offering. Of course, it was a sanctified family, and we are a sanctified family because we partook of Christ. Okay, we're eating of this knowledge and partaking of it and expressing this in our charity. Okay, the love of Christ which passes knowledge now are able to do exceedingly above all, okay, that we ask or think. I like the word above all that we ask or think exceedingly abundantly. The petitions of our prayers and our intercessions have a profound effect upon our destiny. Okay, it has a profound effect upon our destiny. That's why as we pray in the Spirit assists us with this yoke, okay, of regeneration. We're being transformed. Okay, we're being transformed. We have taken on the yoke of this transformation. Okay, we're taking on the yoke of this transformation. As Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. Okay, knowledge will be present. The anointing will begin to build an understanding within you. It will begin to set order and give you direction with this knowledge. The anointing will do these things by the direction of the oversight of stewardship. Okay, which we see, we'll be looking here in Exodus 31. Why is it that Bezaleel and Oholiab could do the things that they did? But they did these things by the pattern that was first received through stewardship. The stewardship of Moses. And Jesus provided a record within himself. As Moses provided a record in the earthly tokens, Jesus provided a record in his spiritual tokens. Now in him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It goes beyond the imagination and signature of man. It goes beyond the imagination and signature of Adamites. But it's very key, okay, to our understanding of our destiny. Okay, above all that we ask or think according to. There's the word according again. We talked about that because we're talking about is establishing a reference point of authority. Okay, according to his good pleasure. We saw that. It was mentioned about five times there in chapter 1. Okay, we see that according to the good pleasure of his will, according to the riches of his grace, according to the purpose of him, according to the working of his mighty power, which we're reading about, and according to the eternal purpose. He's centering himself as a source and point of access. Okay, as the anointing always leads us to the source. Now, in him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, we ask or think. Now, we're going to read more about this concerning grace, mercy, and peace. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, his presence is here now. The anointing is present with us now. As he breathed upon his apostles and he said, receive you the Holy Ghost. As he breathed in the nostrils of Adam, he breathed the breath of life, came in the vessel of Adam. The vessel was prepared for him, for his soul to be poured into him. Okay, the vessel was prepared, is prepared first, then the waters poured within it, as God created the oceans, and then he put the fish in there. Okay, God created the hills with all kinds of grasses, and then he put the cattle there to enjoy, okay, its consumption. God created a vessel of Adam from the soil, and then he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Okay, and we can see that he has also provided us a form for this breath. Okay, the anointing works within the mold of this truth, which reflects Christ. As he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The government, the truth, the spirit. So according to, as this authorization, the power that works in us, that which the Spirit labors with, that's why we're called fellow laborers, because we are putting our hands to the labor. We're working with something, as Bezaleel and Oholiab did. Okay, the anointing was upon them. The Spirit of wisdom was given to them, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Okay, and by that, they contributed to the worship. Okay, to the worship of the priesthood. They contributed, they provided the tokens. They provided tokens. Truth provides the mold for these tokens. Okay, to take form, for understanding, to set order, according to the power that works in us. Okay, and So you can turn to 2 Peter 1:3, and as you turn to 2 Peter 1:3, I'm going to be talking a little bit about here about the RNA. Okay, RNA, okay, which you can look that up. Okay, RNA is an important biological macromolecule in all biological cells. Okay, it is principally involved in the synthesis of proteins. Now we'll be talking more about this. Carrying the messenger instructions. From DNA, which itself contains the genetic instructions required for the development and maintenance of life. As we see also, grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. Okay, as the RNA and the DNA, there's something here, the threefold cord. Okay, as DNA has a dual cord, and RNA has one, a threefold cord. Bonding together, there's power for reproduction. As the government, the truth, and the spirit, the strands all have to be present. The threefold cord has to be present. Okay, in order for us to be bound and lashed to the altar. Okay, so the law was given by Moses. Okay, so we see a stewardship of earthly types and shadows. That was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Okay, the stewardship by as the RNA and the DNA, the protein. Okay, so the steward of God's fullness to build his kingdom in a soul for heavenly things. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ for the heavenly things. Removing the power of death first in the conscience. Removing Satan's testimony within the soul for the healing of the soul. And then finally, okay, removing the sting of death in the flesh. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, these are things we are laboring with, as Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, so your labor is not in vain, as Paul says there. Your labor is not in vain. And we see the same thing in 2 John. Okay, that was in, the first thing I read was in John 1:17 concerning law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then the second thing we're going to read here is in 2 John, his epistle. Chief Elder John here wrote in the second epistle, 1:3, grace be with you, mercy and peace, the threefold proteins. We'll call them the proteins here. Grace, mercy, and peace, the three strands of the proteins in the spiritual synthesis for a regeneration. You see why these are important. Understanding these proteins, these powers. Okay, we can understand how God initiates, the stewardship initiates these things, okay, for our growth. You know, it takes the power of the Spirit to initiate these things. These proteins are not living on their own. There is something inside of them. That's the power of the Spirit. Okay, the power of the Spirit is inside these proteins in order to initiate the change. Okay, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. We got the mold and the product of the anointing. We got the mold of truth and the product of the anointing. Our charity is it being expressed in order to create fruit within you. So we can see that the truth, grace and truth work together. Okay, grace and truth work together. And we worship our Father now in spirit and in truth. Now let's go to Peter here for a moment and read some more things. Make sure you put your marker here, okay, in Ephesians, because of course we'll be coming back there. But first we're going to go to 1 Peter, then we'll be going to the book of Revelation. All right, we're in 2 Peter. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start here in verse 2. But of course we know Peter begins his epistle identifying his stewardship, okay, which we can see as a necessary power and protein. Okay, and then he goes, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. See the word multiplied. Grace and peace be multiplied. Okay, that means a power must be present in order to initiate this growth. Okay, and we know that grace, this illumination and revelation in the anointing is necessary for this bonding power. Peace. Okay, grace and peace. The peace of God is present in order to arrest the agitation to the process. The anointing or the grace of God is present. The peace is now present. Okay, in order to arrest the agitation for the process, due process. Okay, be multiplied unto you. Through what? The knowledge of God. So I like the word knowledge of God because we're talking about that which has to do with facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. The knowledge of God. The sanctified knowledge, okay, which bears that of God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, that means what he says, what he does, and its product. Okay, what he says and he does in the product. the messenger, and that which is given and that which is received. The proteins, that which is given and that which is received. So there's a form of reciprocation here, isn't there, between these powers of RNA and DNA. There's a certain reciprocation process for its multiplication. Okay, from the seed to the tree to the fruit. From the seed to the tree to the fruit. According, there's a word according again, because we're talking about it again, where this has to do with this is the result of God's pleasure. He authorized this according to as his divine power. So I hate the word power again. So what Apostle Paul spoke of, okay, was learned from that, which is also Chief Elder Peter brought to his attention. Okay, according as his divine power, okay, the anointing affects this knowledge. The power of his throne dictates the results. The power of his throne dictates the results. That's why we will be called thrones, kings. Okay, a king is a throne. And he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. The due process of this adoption is to carry on, okay, his likeness in our inheritance. He is heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Okay, he has given to us all things, all the tokens necessary for the sustaining of this life in you. The life of faith. We're living the life of faith. According to his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, this is his likeness. And he's keeping his likeness fresh, okay, afresh within us, all right? Well, we can see that the anointing is a preservative of the soul. Okay, we put preservatives in food in order to preserve food beyond its normal expiration date. Okay, so if you pick an apple from a tree and don't preserve it, okay, then we know that the apple has a very short life expectancy. Okay, as any kind of fruit, a banana, a grape, its expectancy is short. But if you take that fruit and put it within a preservative, it can be retained beyond its expiration date. Okay, and we are retained beyond the expiration date, okay, regarding the preservative of this anointing. Grace and truth is preserving us, okay, beyond our expiration date. Okay, as we can see with Noah as an example. Noah, okay, lived 950 years. Okay, that's way beyond the expiration date, okay, of our present existence. 950 years. Adam lived 930 years. Okay, and we can see also Methuselah, like 987 years, close to 1,000 years. And of course, that is without eating the fruit of the tree of life. If Adam had access to the tree of life, he would live forever. That means that his flesh retained his present form of youth, okay, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Okay, it retained that because God put the power within that fruit, okay, the fruit of the tree of life, in order to sustain the flesh. But once we were denied that, okay, once we denied that fruit, God had to provide a proxy, okay, until we could have access to the fruit again, which is located there in the holy city, New Jerusalem, which possesses 12 manners of fruit. Okay, according to his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That sustains this life form in an activity, okay, of likeness, of his likeness, an activity through the knowledge of him. So we see knowledge is necessary. These are facts. Facts which are consistent to him. Okay, not the facts of the world. Okay, the facts of the world bears all kinds of variables, and death is hidden in everything. Death is in everything, is hidden in the knowledge of this world, because death, we call it death because it doesn't possess faith. The knowledge of God, okay, is sanctified, possesses faith for us. The knowledge of the world is called evil because it denies faith to the soul. Okay, you can see that today. Sin is twofold today. Okay, sin is twofold. The nations are coming now into their fullness of iniquity as the Amorites. Okay, the Amorites, when their iniquity came to its fullness, Israel, okay, was now gained entrance in order to conquer them and to remove them out. A cleansing process. God cleanses by his people. The knowledge of his people, the law that the people had. See, Joshua, which represents the name Jesus, okay, being that steward, okay, brought in there the stewardship and the priesthood. The stewardship and the priesthood entered into the land of Canaan, and the purging process began by that power, the stewardship and the priesthood. And they erected altars both on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Okay, Mount Ebal was erected to represent that which was, okay, absent, Okay, there was a valley between these two mountains. Okay, so we see one is the law, where the other has, on Gerizim, both Levi and Judah were present, which has to do with the Mount of Blessing. The Mount of Blessing possessed the stewardship and the priesthood. Levi and Judah were on Mount Gerizim. Okay, but on Mount Ebal, okay, possessed the other half tribes, which shows that God will bring division for the purpose of your discernment between those that have the those that have the stewardship priesthood and those that do not have the stewardship and the priesthood. Okay, so God will bring the division for this distinction. Okay, but let's go on here. So knowledge is necessary, and so Joshua covered the altars there with plaster and wrote very clearly the law. Okay, the law. Okay, in other words, this is the terms of your service. This is the terms of the service for your sanctification, and God will preserve you. And we can see that God did do that. Okay, God preserved them. Okay, God preserved them because of their faith. Okay, so let's go on here. So we talk about the divine power for the divine nature. The divine power, we see that in verse 3, and highlight the word divine power for the divine nature we see in verse 4. But knowledge is necessary in order to guide us, okay, and also for the virtue to be born. Through the knowledge of Him that's called us to glory and virtue, the substance in our soul, the substance in our soul that saves us from shame by His power. We're saved from shame. Shame, okay, is another name for Satan, which means anything less than light is shame. When Adam lost his light, it was shame on him. Okay, darkness came on him. Ignorance now began to rule his perceptions. Okay, ignorance began to rule his perceptions, and now he began to defend himself, okay, and also to condemn Eve and to charge God with being short-sighted. Okay, it's the woman that caused us, that caused me to sin before you. You gave me this woman to me. Okay, and she's the one that caused me to sin. Okay, and the woman said it was a serpent. It went right back to the source of shame, didn't it? Okay, and so God began to put the curse of the serpent. Okay, and that which would be born in the woman would crush his head. This was a necessary step in order for us to have now this power of discernment of good and evil, so that when we're in the dimensions of the baptism of light, okay, we continually weigh these things, that we be able to identify we call discrepancies. Okay, discrepancies. Okay, so whereby given to us, see the word us there, okay, that means that by the door of this throne, and because of this covenant, Jesus now being our advocate, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, the perpetual promises which are beyond the veil. Okay, in a relationship that begins right here, the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these tokens now, but by these things, by this power, tokens of power, okay, by these things you might be partakers of divine nature. Okay, partakers of divine nature, now we may have fellowship. Okay, speaking the same language, the language of our adoption. We're speaking the language of our adoption and faith. Is the language of our adoption. This has escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, which I just talked about. The system ruled by the passions and the imagination. Ruled by the passions and the imagination. Satan hooks the imagination with a promise. The promise of greater things. So that Adamites want to continually explore beyond their present state. They want to explore beyond that present state to find their peace and to find their rest. Okay, but all they're going to find is the door of death. And that's what awaits them. That's what the broad way is. Okay, the broad way and the wide gate, okay, are those who try to explore the powers of the imagination, okay, which, of course, works death and corruption. It keeps the conscience in a state of defilement and evil, okay, and finally sears it for its final destination. Okay, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world through lust, okay, beginning in the state of the conscience, removing death from the conscience. All right, and this is what, of course, what the apostles talk about. Okay, removing the power of death. Of course, if you're not understanding that, you think that something must have went wrong because we still see death in the world. That's true. Death is still seen present. Okay, but the last power that will be destroyed is death. Okay, and that has to do with the physical. Okay, but it begins with the state of the conscience, the cleansing of the soul, okay, and the redemption of the body. Okay, and as the Lord will raise us up, spirit, soul, and body. Beside this, giving all diligence, including in this pattern of life, okay, we behave in such a way as to focus to weigh each step as we grow through these cycles of growth. Beside this, giving all diligence to add to your faith, any cycles of growth, virtue, knowledge. Because truth molds our experience and sets order in our perceptions. Truth molds our experience and sets order to our perceptions. So therefore, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Okay, that's the first thing Satan wants to rob you of, faith. Because we know that faith pleases God. He knows faith pleases God. And we have true faith and feigned faith. Feigned faith, okay, has to do with that, the expression of the moral code. Okay, the expression of the moral code, okay, for your religious expressions. Okay, and your religious perceptions, expressions, okay, whatever it is that you're pursuing after. Okay, you have the moral code. Okay, so that's feigned faith. And we can see feigned faith in a false religious system. Feigned faith is by the fake gospel. The fake gospel works fake fruit, which has to do with it. The indulgences. Okay, the indulgences of the perception. They're trying to gain fruit by focus of scripture. But fruit isn't gained by the focus of scripture. It's like staring at a meal but not consuming it. Okay, your stomach isn't full looking at a plate of food. Your stomach is filled only, of course, if you take your hand and a fork or a spoon, take it from one point of this destiny to its, okay, one point of its origin to the destiny of the stomach, put it that way. That means there is a due process. Okay, so feigned faith works with the fake gospel, which also fakes this fruit. There is a process that's missing, okay, within the false religious system. They cannot see it nor perceive it, okay, because the darkness has blinded their eyes. Okay, but when they turn to the Lord, and God in his mercy then gives them grace to draw them, if their repentance is then sealed by the terms of the covenant, then they begin to have the eyes of this perception and see beyond the veil. They see beyond that veil there. Knowledge to temperance, temperance to patience. Hey, the knowledge, the renewing of the mind, of course, brings restraint and moderation, and to temperance here, which we endure, to birth is likeness, patience. Patience in all our choices of life, and patience, godliness, by which we fellowship with each other and bond one with another. And a godliness, brotherly kindness, and a brotherly kindness, charity. Okay, so the beginning is with faith, and charity is the distributing factor of all these other virtues, the links of his joy. Okay, in us, now we are complete, okay, as we enter into his rest. So we see as RNA dictates the manner of habit to our DNA. It gives us power to reciprocate. The RNA dictates the manner of habit to our DNA. It's a messenger. Okay, they're communicating and reciprocating to each other. So it's the power to reciprocate. That's what we do over the Father. He gives us grace in Jesus Christ our Lord, and we reciprocate through the priesthood of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, the priesthood he's provided for us, Jesus Christ our Lord, and we find this peace through Christ Jesus. Okay, let's stop right there, and let's jump over to Revelation. Okay, the book of Revelation, chapter 4. We're going to go to Revelation 4. Okay, so the apostle, chief elder Peter understood this, because chief elder John brought to his attention, okay, the events that unfolded in the seventh heaven. We see here in Revelation 4:11, but we'll start with verse 9. Now, when those beasts give glory, honor, and thanks to him that sat on the throne, you can see the due process of this revelation. Okay, the 24 elders, the four beasts, and also the multitude of angels. Okay, all the different ranks and stations of the angels. Now, when those beasts give glory and honor, we talk about they're adding substance to the title. Adding substance to the title. Okay, these creatures, they're called beasts right here because they don't possess his fullness. They don't possess Christ's fullness. That fullness is provided for us. So they're called the beast. Okay, but not in a negative term. They're called the four beasts because they have a face of a calf, okay, a face of an eagle, a face of a lion, a face of a man. Okay, a man is only one fourth of this creature, the face of a man. Okay, so it's less than his fullness, but they take what he provides for them and initiates a certain pattern to which the 24 elders reciprocate to. Now, when those beasts give glory and honor, which is adding substance and honor and title to our Father, and thanks to him that sat on the throne, which is the power of his will, we see, go right back again to the symbolisms there of the RNA of our soul, DNA. Okay, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they listen, they bow the knee, and they reciprocate. They fell down before him that sat on the throne. Okay, to see the word throne there now. Okay, that's the messenger. Okay, and worship him that lives forever and ever. Okay, there is a reciprocation of this knowledge. They worship him now in spirit and truth, reciprocate him in knowledge. They didn't throw at the Lord pieces of gold, pieces of silver, and chunks of meat, as a high priest of the first covenant did. Okay, but they cast before him this form of knowledge, and they bowed the knee. Okay, they worship him that lives forever, and what do? They cast their crowns before the throne. The crown has to do with, this was a token reward God gave to them, and they're reciprocating a token reward back to him. Okay, before the throne, which means we refuse any token less than Christ. So we choose grace, okay, over the glitter. We choose grace over the glitter to cast their crowns before the throne. So we refuse any token less than Christ. We chose grace over glitter. And they said this, "You are worthy, O Lord. We admire your holiness. You are worthy, O Lord, as being our master, to receive glory." See the word receive there. There's this reciprocation. Something was given, and something was received. Okay, the gifts of substance. We give gifts of substance back to you. Okay, well, we don't give it back to you in a form of the physical. We give it back to you in a form of your faith. You have created all things. Okay, all things are tethered to your oath, but we live by your word. Gifts of substance, which represent the title, your honor, and power. There's the word power again. It's like the word power there. At this point of contact, okay, for our faith and for our birth. Your power for our faith and for our birth. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Okay, and Jesus said, you should be witnesses unto me. This power will show you the source. I am your source. Okay, they receive power. Abide here until you receive power. So the RNA was present for the DNA's reciprocation in this message. And through this form of reciprocation, okay, they gained a perspective which they didn't have under the law of Moses. They gained a new perspective. For you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. For your wisdom determine all these things, and you determine this plan in Christ, because Christ is spoken of in everything that you created. Okay, we see the same thing in chapter 5, verse 12. Okay, when he said the same thing, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is Lamb that was slain to receive power." There's the word power again. This token authority. A token authority. As this throne. This throne is providing for us a message. Okay, we receive a message from the throne by which we reciprocate. And we receive a token, okay, of his propitiation by which we reciprocate with. Glory unto glory. Grace unto grace. Wisdom unto wisdom. Knowledge unto knowledge. Understanding unto understanding. Multiply. Multiplication, which means there is no end. It's a power. Okay, like you would put to the third power, the third power. Okay, which means a digit to the third power. Okay, a digit. So you put a number down, and you put behind that a power, a number. A number is a power. You take a digit and put the number 7 behind it, which means this multiplication process, okay, perpetually to this power. Okay, and his power is perpetual, without end. Okay, without end. That's why it says world without end. There is no restriction to my creation. World without end. Okay, his presence would be ever expanding from a grain of seed or from a grain of sand to a mountain, and from a mountain to a world, from a world to a galaxy, from a galaxy to a universe. It is perpetually expanding. Okay, this is what our Father delights in. This is what he planned for this dimension before the dimension was even created. This is the wisdom of God, which is unfathomable and unsearchable as his name. Saying with a loud voice, verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive." See the word Lamb, okay, which is also the Lord God Almighty. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing." We all confirm these tokens as a tether for our salvation. Okay, we as millions of angels, means of ministering spirits, which attend upon the consenters, which we are. We are the consenters of this plan, that we prefer the grace to the glitter. But our treasures, okay, will be manifested in physical form. Now let's jump from here to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Let's jump over there. Let's read a few verses here. We're going to start with verse 1, of course. We're going to try to go to verse 11. What we're going to be reading right here is his workmanship to build. Okay, and you see that in the illustration again. Okay, that's Bezaleel and Aholiab. The wisdom of the Spirit dwelt upon them. See, I have given, this is what the Lord said, see, Moses, I have given wisdom to Bezaleel, and I have given Aholiab to assist him. I have given them skills of craftsmanship. Okay, in order to provide sanctified tokens for my priesthood. These had to be built before Aaron could even function. Aaron couldn't even function yet until the tokens were prepared for him. And that, of course, we had to first build a tabernacle. And the tabernacle, the altar, the Ark of the Covenant, okay, the candlesticks, the table of showbread, why, even a sacrifice had to be brought to them. Okay, everything had to be prepared. It's like a factory. Okay, there's many contributing factors to bring about the end product that you want. The Lord spoke unto Moses. Everybody should be there now, verse 31. The Lord spoke unto Moses. In other words, the Spirit unfolded this parable to the chief steward. The Lord spoke unto Moses. The voice of the Lord was in Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur. He was of the tribe of Judah. This is his lot to assist in this project. I'm going to print upon him my word. And my word will be expressed in these tokens. Okay, the tokens of faith to preach Christ and his record, the better covenant to come. I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom. Okay, I filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom. The angel of the Lord, the angel of his signature, now will assist him in skills that will supersede the natural pattern, as grace does for faith. It will super exceed the natural pattern and skill level. I filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom. That means the angel would be present. See, just like the watchers. Now, the holy watchers were to assist Adam, okay, in giving Adam skills. Okay, they were assist him in building kingdoms in this dimension. They were to assist Adam in doing these things. So after Adam transgressed, the kingdom building, the massive building program of the watchers now reverted to themselves. They sat upon the throne and ruled over Adamites. They became the fallen watchers. And we're going to see the same thing transpire in the time of the seventh week. The angels will rule the world again as he did in the days of Noah. Okay, they're going to rule and enslave Adamites. Okay, for the purpose of ruining God's testimony. They're going to try to ruin God's testimony. But the Lord will establish his presence and testimony again in truth. Okay, at the end and conclusion of that seventh week. I have filled him with Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding. See, this word grace right there. Okay, I filled him the Spirit of God, that grace. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Now you got your definition. It's going to give direction. It's going to set order in all manner of things which are visible, the visible skills, and all manner of workmanship. Okay, and to devise cunning works. Now, if the Spirit assisted them, hey, with the natural things, what is your angel going to do assisting you in the spiritual things? Okay, your angel is going to assist you. The angel which has been assigned to you, okay, is going to assist you throughout eternity. Now, Jesus' angel assisted him. Jesus' angel assisted him. You see this in the book of Revelation. Okay, I, Jesus, sent my angel. Chapter 22 of Revelation. I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify unto you. Okay, these things. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, that him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. Okay, in other words, drinking the water of life freely, which means it is perpetually flowing. It's perpetually flowing, and it will perpetually flow in you and through you, okay, throughout eternity, okay, as the tree of life. To devise cunning works in verse 4, he's going to see me to construct this mystery of the divine pattern. Okay, the divine pattern here. Okay, a divine pattern is being provided for the carnal things. How about the divine pattern being provided for eternal, spiritual, and heavenly things? Jesus' record provided that divine pattern because the law was given by Moses. That divine pattern was given to Moses for the law of earthly things. in order to bring discernment in the presence of the defiled and evil conscience. Okay, so the law was given to restrict the expressions of that defiled conscience so that faith would be born in them. Okay, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, the record of our soul. The record of our soul, okay, now provided a pattern for our faith, but now it would be provided by his fullness, not in part any longer, not in this token of the seven golden candlesticks, not in a token of the table of showbread, not in a token of the altar of incense, not in a token of the ark of the covenant, not in a token of the altar of sacrifice, not in those tokens, but in Christ himself, the altar of our faith. Okay, having filled him with these things, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, silver, and brass, earthly things. These elements reflect my power for your remission, though they be of the soil. For I will come in the flesh to redeem your soul. That's what he's saying. Now verse 5. And in cutting of stones to set them, and carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Okay, because Jesus is saying all manner of workmanship, for I will be nailed to the cross, the timber. I'll be carving my name and my image in your heart. Now verse 6. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, his assistant, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, and also others, in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, those of faith who read my word and direct their steps accordingly as my stewards shall oversee them. That's what he's saying. Okay, all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded you. That is the steward. Moses was not going to start a factory to make trinkets for the nations. He wasn't going to construct a factory to make, manufacture candlesticks, golden candlesticks, to sell to the Amorites or the Hittites. Okay, he wasn't going to construct his factory, okay, for the purpose of his own profit. That's not what it's for. Okay, it was all for faith. Look what he said here, verse 7, the tabernacle congregation, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is thereon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. He didn't make a furniture factory. Okay, here, it was his furniture for the tabernacle. In other words, he didn't start his own independent ministry. This is what we see in a false religious system today. Okay, they're taking the tokens of the furniture out of the tabernacle, okay, and constructing with them, okay, their own form of religion, removing the gift. I brought that out in a post. The covenant, or the prophet of the covenant, points to the stewardship. The false prophet points to the gift. Okay, in other words, the false prophet points just to the furniture that he has. That is for his own profit. Okay, but the true prophet points to the stewardship. Okay, that is, okay, the one that received the pattern. So we don't remove the furniture, okay, from the house. The furniture stays within the house. Okay, we're filling the chambers of the soul. Okay, the table of his furniture, the pure candlestick, verse 8, with his furniture and the altar of incense. Okay, all these gifts are to return to God by faith. All right, look at verse 9. The altar of burnt offering and all his furniture and the laver his foot. Okay, both the water and the fire as the open sign. Okay, the clothes of service, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments for his sons to minister in the priest's office. They're not even made yet. And so you see that God makes this provision as a preparatory stage. That's why this knowledge is necessary. Okay, the five steps of your growth, grace, faith, righteousness. Okay, the seal, your priesthood, all these things follow, all these things work together. This is your furniture. You're filling your caverns of your soul with this furniture. Okay, for your priesthood. Okay, so we can see that Aaron didn't even have his garments yet. So how could he function as a priest? Well, the stewardship had received the pattern. Okay, he wrote it down and drew pictures of it. He disclosed these things to Bezaleel. He opened up the blueprint. He said, "You see this blueprint? Make it by this pattern right here. This is what God showed me. Make it by this pattern, the handbreadth and a cubit." So the clothes of service, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, the garments of sons, the minister, verse 11, the anointing oil. Wow, you gotta have that yet. The anointing oil, which has to do with the five components, the anointing oil, and the four for the sweet incense. So 5 and 4 is 9, which represents the fruits of the Spirit. 5 and 4 is 9. Okay, so we see truth and charity. Truth and charity are seen here. The anointing oil and the sweet incense. Truth and charity. The anointing oil, And the sweet incense, which you have to do the expression of your charity. Okay, truth and charity, right here. The anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according, that's your source of authority, to all that I have commanded you, so shall they do. This is this commandment to them. Okay, now let's go back to Ephesians and let's close there. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, so we talked here about verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's profound beyond the imagination and record and signature of man. Beyond the carnal things. Beyond the logic. According to what? It's according to this power. The source of authority is by the anointing which he provided for us for this fullness. Well, what is it for? Unto him be glory. And we just saw that in the book of Revelation. Revelation 4:11. According to the power, right? We see the divine power for the divine nature, as Chief Elder Peter brings to our attention. Right, unto him be glory. Unto the Father, we fill the chambers of his house. The chamber of the soul for the chambers of his house. Okay, that's why we're called a body. We're called a body. We're all working together in this exchange. Okay, we're exchanging this charity. The charity is this. As the RNA and DNA, there's a message within this knowledge by which we bond together. Okay, it's a token of agreement, okay, as a vow, okay, the voice, the oath of his word. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. How do you wear Christ Jesus there? Okay, this is his holy priesthood, which is provided in the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the priesthood, the Lamb. He's the priesthood. Christ Jesus, he's the priesthood. Okay, and we see the same thing in the light of the holy city. For the light of the holy city has no need of the light of the sun, nor the light of the moon, nor any natural light. Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light of it. And his name is one. His name is one at this time. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. When he says throughout ages, he's talking about that which is eternal life, isn't he? Perpetual eternal life. And that's why he says the world without end. Okay, the expanding of this dimension, because the Lord is going to be present down here. Because God is going to, bring all dimensions into one. Okay, the seven heavens are going to be, which are like as a, like a, like a telescope, will be brought into one dimension. The Lord God Almighty now is on earth. Okay, our Father is on earth now, and not at that time. So let's finish up here in verse 21, and we can work on chapter 4 next week. Okay, unto him be glory. Okay, the substance, everything proceeded out from him, everything we receive back to him again, but with increase. The consenters will be presented unto a Father with increase. Lord, you have given me a talent, and lo, my talent has gained 5 talents more or 10 talents more. And what is the Lord going to say? Well done, you good and faithful servant. I have given you one and you have increased it. Okay, you increased it because you trusted me. Okay, because by his mercy we learn his fear, and by his fear we continue to embrace his grace. We continue to embrace his grace, and his tokens teach us to trust him. Okay, he is our source of life. We can't live apart from him. Okay, because in him we live and we move and we have our being. He sustains us with these tokens of Christ.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.